Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology from Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. Now, Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. Let's listen to this musical introduction of Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. As Solazar said, I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all of your relationships by learning to listen from your heart. And I will be giving workshops and also individual consultations if desired. And you can find out about that by emailing me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, Conscious Aware Heart. My website is consciousawareheart.com. And there you can hear past archives of this segment, as well as some other materials and information about upcoming events. Now, the key to listening is that it's not just about hearing the words that the other person is saying. It's about really engaging that person in a dialogue and decoding the hidden messages that lie beneath the words themselves. And today I'm going to try to unpack some of that by addressing and hopefully answering four questions that come up from time to time. The first is something that you've probably heard, and that's the question, would you rather be right or happy? And what does that mean? I'm going to try to unpack that and try to put a little bit of meat on those bones. Second question is, why is communication so crucial in relationships? Then why is effective listening so crucial in communication? And finally, why is tracking what I teach the most effective approach, in my opinion, to being an effective listener? So let's look at these questions. You probably have heard the expression, would you rather be right or happy? And if you're like me, you say, well, what does that mean? do I have to have a choice? I mean, why can't I be right and happy? I'll be happy if I'm right. I actually don't like the word happy. I prefer substituting the words at peace. So for me, I translate this question as, would you rather be right or at peace? And to me, that kind of gets to what is really being conveyed by this. Notice that in a sense, what I've done here is what I've talked about when you track someone or you listen to them very deeply. You hear what's behind it, what's underneath it. So in this context, I think happy is kind of an understandable word to be used in this context. And for me, the word happy kind of connotes, you know, it's some things that are not necessarily ideal when it comes to relationships. Again, we all want to be happy, but happy can be a very superficial type of thing. To me, being at peace is a somewhat more in-depth concept. Because the next thing is that being right has nothing to do with objective facts. And that that may strike you as being a little odd. So being right in this context, I'll say it again, it has nothing to do with the facts. It has to do with an attitude. So if your attitude is, I'm right, then that sends the message that you're wrong if you have a different point of view. So I'm right sends the message that you're wrong, even if you don't say it. If you have that attitude that I'm right and you're wrong, then that can be antithetical to being at peace. Because if I'm right and you're wrong, that means that we are essentially in a dialogue of conflict. Other messages that I'm right send, that you value your own opinions over the relationship. In other words, it's more important what I think about it, and I would rather hurt the relationship by making you wrong. It sends the message that if I'm right, then that means that I'm not willing to consider any other perspective. And if there were only one perspective, then there would be a whole lot less conflict and wars and other things going on in the world. There would be far fewer conflicts in relationships if there were only one perspective. But the reality is that there are many different perspectives, and one is not necessarily more right than the other. Now, again, this has nothing to do with facts. I mean, that's a whole other idea. But the attitude of I'm right means that your mind is closed to possibilities. And if your mind is closed to possibilities, then it isn't really at peace, because being at peace means being at peace with everything as it is. Another message that it kind of sends, especially if you're really adamant that if somehow you've been proven wrong, then your sense of your self-worth has been diminished somehow. In other words, if my sense of worth is tied up in whether I'm right or not, and I'm only okay if I'm right, then if I happen to be wrong, then that means I'm not okay. And to one extent or other, sadly, we all have that. I mean, I can't claim with truthfulness that I don't have any elements of that. And part of the process is kind of just recognizing those areas. So if that's the case for you, that means that you have to maintain your self-esteem by sticking to your rightness at the expense of everything else, including a relationship. Again, it means that the relationship is not as important as your own ego. In other words, being right is essentially an ego statement. It's what the ego needs to stay alive, basically. And the more that you can let go of that, I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to let go of your perspective or your opinions, but it happens when you grip it so tightly that everything else falls apart. And it's sad to see so much of that in the world these days, both in relationships, I mean, in the political arena, between countries. I mean, it's very unfortunate that there's so much of that going on. And this era is not unique to that. All you have to do is study some history, and you'll see examples of just horrendous terrible things that have happened all throughout history. As the saying goes, those who don't study history are condemned to repeat it. And for me, the corollary is those who do study history are condemned to stand around and watch everybody else repeat it. But that's another talk. So would you rather be right than happy means that, to me, that holding on to your beliefs, to your opinions, to your perspective is something which is harmful to relationships, and it's actually in a way harmful to your own spirit, because if you know everything, then there's nothing more to learn. So, which leads to the next question: why is communication so crucial in relationships? You know, I've been reading these days where a lot of couples therapists are now downplaying the importance of communication, and I think that's a little unfortunate. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I suspect it's because they haven't found an effective enough way to help couples communicate more effectively. I mean, I've interacted with a number of therapists, and I certainly don't mean to denigrate them by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, many themselves have not really mastered the kind of communication skills that I talk about here, and that others also talk about, because mastering communication skills is more than just kind of learning, learning how to hit a ball or learning how to play the guitar or something. It is something that you can practice, but it involves a much deeper emotional relationship, both with yourself and with the other person. So why is communication so crucial in relationships? Well, let me talk about what intimacy means. Intimacy, to me, is sharing your innermost thoughts and feelings with another person. You know, intimacy is sharing your innermost thoughts and feelings with another person. And now, with so-called intimate relationships, then those relationships are more intimate if nearly all the thoughts and feelings are being shared. In other words, if very little is being held back. On the other hand, with say friendship, you will share some thoughts and some feelings. I mean, that's what makes it a friendship. And yet there will be some things that are not being shared, but that, you know, there's still what makes a friendship is this sharing of what's going on inside. And if somebody's just an acquaintance, a cat, or somebody you've just met, then you might share a few thoughts and very few feelings, or at least if it's going to last. I was reading about things not to do on a first date, you know, and kind of getting too into, you know, your feelings on the first date is usually kind of a turnoff. So, you know, in other words, don't ask someone to move in or marry you on the first date. It's a little bit too soon. In other words, the process of becoming either a friend or an intimate partner is a process, and it involves navigating that. And throughout, it involves sharing. So most of us have friends and maybe an intimate relationship. And if you don't, then then why are you listening to this? But how confident are you that the other person really knows your thoughts and feelings? And think of someone close to you, maybe an intimate partner, maybe a good friend. How confident are you that person really knows what you're thinking and what you're feeling? Without communication, how can you be sure? Without effective communication, your perception of what their thoughts and feelings are is about you, not them. In other words, how well do you know what they're thinking and what they're feeling? Without effective communication, then it really is just your projection onto them, and likely vice versa. If there isn't effective communication, then what they think of you, or what they think of what your innermost self is about, is probably based on a projection by them. Now, earlier, Solazar was talking about how everything is energy, and I believe that to be true. But communication is sending and receiving energy. Communication is all about sending and receiving energy, or sharing your energy with another person. So we have a sender or a speaker who is sending the energy, and a receiver or a listener who's receiving the energy. You know, and it's like a TV or a radio, you know, where you have a broadcaster and you have a receiver. And the problem is that if one of the channels, either the speaker or the receiver, has static, then that blocks the energy. You know, there's this concept of signal-to-noise ratio. So the signal is the message that's being sent, and the noise is anything that interferes with that. So if you turn your TV on and all you see is static and snow, then that's noise. That's the, you know, the visual noise. In communication, some of the sources of noise include the following. So if you're the speaker and you're not expressing yourself very clearly, then that's a source of noise. In other words, the words aren't making sense, and they aren't adequately conveying what is really going on. That's one source of noise. But most of the other sources have to do with the receiver. So if the receiver has internal noise, then the message, no matter how clearly and how effectively it's being sent, is simply not going to be received. And some of the two main sources of internal noise in interpersonal communication are, first, an internal voice, an internal dialogue with yourself while the other person is sending a message. For example, you may only be half listening. And while the other person is speaking, you might be mentally just tapping your foot, waiting for them to stop so you can have your say. Or they may be saying something that you're disagreeing with. And so you're sort of listening to them, but you know what they're going to say. And so you're, instead of focusing on what they're saying and communicating, you're internally concentrating on, okay, now he just said this, so here's my reply, and he just said that, and so here's how I'm going to contradict that. So usually when we're formulating an answer, it's to contradict what the speaker is saying, or it might be just, okay, I'm not interested in listening, I only want to speak, so I'll just kind of nod until they stop talking, and then I'll have my say. The second source of internal noise is making the speaker wrong. And I'll talk a little bit more in a bit about what I mean by that. Making someone wrong has nothing to do with the facts again. So again, I'll come back to that. So communication is crucial in relationships because that's the only way that you can know what's going on inside the other person, and that's the only way that the other person can know what's going on in you. And I think it's unfortunate that it seems to be falling out of favor a little bit, at least with some of the couples counselors. But that's just on them. That doesn't change my assertion that communication is in fact crucial in relationships. So now, why is effective listening crucial in communication? And that kind of follows with what I was just talking about. If you're the speaker and the what's blocking the communication has to do with you being the source of the noise, that is, you not being clear about what you're saying, then you can work to clarify your message. And that's certainly the case. You know, so if the other person is in fact listening effectively but not getting what you're saying, then that means that the solution is to clarify your how you're saying it. You know, find better words, find more an adequate way, or perhaps ideally, you know, kind of track yourself, sort of find or track the other person to find out what it was about your message that was unclear. On the other hand, if you're interacting with a noisy listener, that is someone who you can tell is not really with you, but you know, mentally tapping their foot, then the best thing to do is to switch to tracking them, because if that's what they're doing, then your message is falling on deaf ears, so to speak. In other words, a message has to be sent effectively and received effectively, and if either one of those is not working, then the message isn't getting across. So what's the point of talking? What's the point of expressing yourself if the other person just isn't hearing it? The way to break that logjam is to find out what's going on for that person. In other words, kind of track them. And, you know, so for example, you could say something like, perhaps you're hearing something that you disagree with. Or perhaps there's something that was expressed that you have a problem with. And one thing that helps me is just remembering that is Stephen Covey's fifth habit, in which briefly stated is seek first to understand and then be understood. So the best way to be understood is to first understand. And in this context, to understand what is going on for the other person that is preventing them from hearing what you have to say. So if you are the listener, though, and you are the source of the noise, in other words, you can work to turn off that internal voice that's preventing you from really deeply understanding and hearing what the other person is saying, and focus all the attention on the speaker. That can be very challenging to do, especially if you're hearing something that you disagree with. So that's, I mean, if you're hearing something you agree with, communication is easy. It's when you're hearing something that's a little more challenging that communication skills really come into effect. So most of the changes that can make communication more effective, they have to do with being a better listener or a more effective listener. And the most effective approach to listening that I found is tracking. And so my fourth question that I sometimes get asked is why is tracking the most effective approach to effective listening? Since you asked, I'll tell you. Well, first, tracking starts with an attitude of not making anybody wrong. And before I said I would unpack that a little bit. So what does it mean to make someone wrong? Now, that has nothing to do with whether they have their facts off or whether you agree with them. Making someone wrong is about judging them or criticizing them. And whether you are explicit, certainly if you're explicit about judging or criticizing, then that usually leads to an escalation of the conflict or a breaking off of the dialogue. Nobody likes to be criticized. And in a relationship that's important to you, to judge or criticize the other person is putting them down, putting them in a lesser position. And that is an anathema to having a deep relationship. And even if it's a friendship, you want that friendship to be as wonderful as possible. And ask yourself if you're feeling judgmental or critical of the other person, you know, ask yourself how does this help the relationship? How does this attitude that I have towards them help the relationship? Is it helping or is it hurting? So tracking begins with that attitude of not making anyone wrong. That doesn't mean that you have to accept something which is unacceptable. It doesn't mean you have to agree with something with which you disagree. But you don't make the other person wrong. You don't judge them or criticize them because they have a different point of view. Tracking puts all of the focus on the speaker. So it can therefore help quiet the internal noise that can be an anathema to effective communication. So by putting all of your focus on the speaker, it's almost like being mindful. You're being mindful of what is going on. What is going on is the other person is expressing something and you are as open as you can possibly be to receiving it. And especially if it's something difficult to hear, then the more at peace you can be with that and accepting of the other person, then the more likely it is to actually deepen and enhance the relationship than hurt it. So tracking can help quiet that internal noise that we sometimes have. One thing that I found that really helps are two magic words. And those magic words are "so you" and sometimes just "so." And the reason they're magic and that because they help focus. Instead of the usual response or reaction to what you hear, if you just simply remember to start with the word "so you" and then see what comes out naturally based upon what the other person is saying. So you're not okay with what's going on. Or so something's going on that's unacceptable to you. Or so you'd like to see something different. Again, what helps with this is that with practice, first of all, you notice that it often helps defuse the situation. Because if you've been paying attention to what they're saying, then what you can say after "so you" is usually a validating statement. And everyone likes to be validated, keeping in mind that validating someone is not agreeing with them. Even if it's not a particularly confrontational conversation, it still helps clarify the speaker's message and lets them know that you're listening, that you're with them, that you're paying attention. So to return to an earlier question, how do you know that you have received the message that the other person has sent? Well, tracking, first of all, lets them know, and if your tracking response is kind of off the mark, then they're likely to correct it, which means you eventually land on what it is they're trying to say. And if you're fortunate enough to be tracked yourself, then the usual result is that you're confident that your message has been received and you can correct any responses that are off. So things to be careful about when you're tracking is to stay mindful, to be in the present, to avoid pronouns like I, we, us, my, etc. Use only you, if at all possible. Keep your angst or anger out of your voice. Match the speaker's energy. Avoid entrapping statements that appear to be tracking, you know, so you thought that would be a great idea. You know, no, that sounds like structurally it's like a tracking statement, but it's really making the other person wrong. Avoid parroting. You know, don't just repeat the words. If you hear something, if you're somebody say, well, I just said that, then you're probably parroting. And I'll talk more about some of these other things in other segments. But in the meantime, we have come to the end of this segment, and I so appreciate your listening to Speaking of Listening. Again, just to recap, I've addressed four questions today. So would you rather be right or happy? why communication is crucial in relationships, why listening is crucial in communication, and why tracking is the most effective approach to being a good listener. And until then, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I've been your host, Arnie Buss, and I so thank you for joining me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more, you can visit my website. That's consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart. You can follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect the number 5, C-O-M-M. I haven't been tweeting that much lately, but maybe I'll start up again. My email is ahbuss, A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago. Thank you.